So actually, I was told the Ravens were involved with Jaire Alexander back in March when he was on the trading block, talked to the player, talked to Green Bay a little bit, fielded out. Nothing happened. So when he became a free agent, GM Eric DaCosta called that first day. There were some other teams involved. I was told Alexander thought about the Atlanta Falcons, where he had some relationships to the coaching staff there, the Miami Dolphins too, although they hadn't traded Jalen Ramsey, so there just wasn't an opening there financially yet. But he went on a visit this week to the Ravens without any promises. He was non-committal. He said, I just want to go chop it up with Lamar, the front office. He was there a couple hours. He said, I'm good. I'm signing with...
The Baltimore Ravens signed Jaire Alexander. We had had some conversations about him, as there was a report from earlier in the offseason the Bills were in on that as a trade idea, and then they did their thing. They signed Tre'Davious White, and Alexander becomes available, goes to Baltimore. Good morning, it's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. It's a beautiful Monday morning. And let's start ripping through the Bills schedule a little bit. Joining us now on the Western Hotline, Kevin Ostreicher from Locked On Ravens. One of our favorites, also a fellow Denver Nuggets fan, along like myself, Kevin, and I think they've had a pretty good offseason, it seems.
Yeah, pretty good offseason for them, and you know, I think from a football perspective, I'm ready for the offseason to be over, and you know, I just counting down the days over here for football.
Yeah, at least until training camp, right? Like this is easily the NFL. Is 11 months and 3 weeks of the calendar year, and I feel like we're in that other 2.5-3 weeks where there's just we get the NFL top 100, and that's basically it.
Yeah, and I mean, this has been a busier off season, I think, for a lot of teams in terms of just like the calendar year aspect of it. A lot of moves, a lot of rumors, and things of that sort, and so. You know, the NFL is a year-round business, which it's exciting to have that excitement in it. But you know, there's nothing like these guys suiting up and playing some football.
Yeah. So before we get to the Ravens offseason, Kevin, we just got to a conversation that Josh played a Nick Wright clip, and I got fired up about the other thing that's happening right now is ranking season, and how do you take in Mahomes rankings, because it feels like there's either he isn't ranked, like if anyone's doing some random old quarterback ranking, he's either not number one, and then there's, how could you possibly do that? Or he is number one, and I don't know. I feel like that's almost because you have to do it, or you're just counting how many times you've made it to the Super Bowl, because I don't know about you, but I don't feel like there is any argument in the last 2 years, at least, that he's been the best quarterback. He shows up in clutch time, but when you look at Jackson and you look at Allen, I just think their resumes in the last 2 years for themselves, maybe not the team, is just definitively better.
Yeah, I'd have to say that, look, Mahomes has the rings. He's going to have that right now over both Lamar and Josh, but I think in terms of the team, and for Kansas City last year, it's such an interesting case study because they won so many of those close games, and they pulled him out of thin air in a bunch of situations where, Mahomes is still a top five quarterback in this league. Like, he's still extremely talented. He's the guy that the Ravens and the Bills have to beat. But to me, I think that, there's a difference between the fact that Mahomes has the rings versus the fact that I think Allen and Lamar are better players. And, it's something where, I think you can acknowledge both things and not be wrong about it. And, I think with last season, with the MVP race playing out the way it did, with Lamar and Josh right there together, I mean, that was how it should have been. It was Lamar and Josh. Mm-hmm. And while I think Mahomes was a step down there, he was the one to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC, at this point, if you ask people, man, who you start in a franchise with today, I think that Lamar and Josh should be on that list over Mahomes.
Yeah, I do too. So let's get to how the Ravens have surrounded Jackson this offseason, although they already had such a great roster around him. What would you say are the biggest changes in Baltimore this year? They bring back Derrick Henry, they bring in DeAndre Hopkins, but at this point it feels like he's more of a secondary piece, so... Like, what would you call their best move of the offseason so far?
I think it has to be Jaire Alexander, and that's just on the fact that I still think he's a top 10 cornerback when healthy, and I know that's the big question is if he can stay healthy. So, it's a pretty big aspect of it, but I call it a no-risk, high-reward signing. I know the term is low-risk, high-reward. I truly do think there's no risk in this because they signed into a deal worth $4 million and go up to $6 million. I think the reward that you can get out of a deal like that if you're Baltimore is absolutely incredible because you're not having him come in through the face of your secondary. You know, there's not that pressure on him where, you know, you say you have Marlon Humphrey and Nate Wiggins and you add another All-Pro to that secondary on a cheap deal. I think that you can never have too many cornerbacks. That's something that Ozzie Newsome, who, you know, ran the show here for a while in Baltimore, said all the time and still says it, where you can't have enough cornerbacks. And so to me, I think that for the Ravens, adding that depth in the secondary is huge. And, you know, you draft Malachi Starks as well in the first round. You have five former first-round picks in your starting secondary now, which is just incredible. So they invested there, and I think hopefully it will come back to help them out a lot because they already lost our Darius Washington for most, if not all, of the season this year with an Achilles injury. So they need all the help they can get in that secondary, but I think they did well for themselves.
Does the defense overall feel like it could be a top unit? There were times last year, although this was maybe more at the beginning of the season, where there was a little bit of a wonder of how good they were on that side of the ball and ended up looking good by the end. This year, I don't know, what's the ceiling, you think, for that unit?
Yeah, I think that they certainly can be a top five group. Yeah, you mentioned the beginning of the year last year. You know, they were a great run defense throughout the entirety of the season last year. It was the pass defense that really was their struggle there. And that's because, you know, Brandon Stevens, after a great 2023, he fell off in a big way in 2024. Marcus Williams was awful for them. Eddie Jackson, they had to cut mid-season. So they were trying to work through a bunch of guys that were either underperforming or just weren't giving them what they needed. So when they made the necessary changes, and our Darius Washington was a big part of that, they moved Kyle Hamilton back to just being a traditional safety in that role, not being a Swiss Army knife. That was their last attempt at it, and it worked. So this year, kind of having year two of Zach Orr as a defensive coordinator, I think at all three levels you feel pretty confident. And Baltimore didn't really lose a ton this offseason in general on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, Brandon Stevens, Patrick McCary, Trey White, those are some of your big losses of the offseason. And compared to the last couple of seasons where they were losing guys out of their major core, it's a big shift. So I think they got better as a team while not losing a lot of that talent. And, you know, I think a lot of people in Baltimore kind of see Zach Orr as on that Mike McDonald train, where young coach coming up, someone who struggled a bit in the first part of his first year as defensive coordinator and then really got it together and might be a head coach in the next couple of seasons. So I think a lot of people here love what the defense has the potential to do.
Kevin Ostreicher locked on Ravens with us for another minute or two. The Ravens, the Bills' week one opponent. Offensively, I guess kind of what do they want to be this year and going forward? Jackson set a career high in pass attempts last year, although that could have just been because they ran more plays. Because last year, Kevin, like their rushing attack, I feel like there was a statistical argument that was like the greatest rush attack the NFL has ever seen. But Jackson also put up video game numbers throwing the ball. So is this a shift at all? Do you think they are more comfortable with him airing it out? Do you think they want to run the ball, or are they kind of in the sweet spot right now?
I think they have a really nice sweet spot, and part of that is because they have so many talented pass catchers, but they understand that they're a run-first team, and it'll always be that way, you know, in this era of, hey, you know, you get a whatever running back you want, put him next to Lamar Jackson, and, you know, that duo will be great in that regard. You know, get the offensive line right. But you have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, DeAndre Hopkins, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and the possibilities there are endless. And so I do think that while the run game is always going to be a big part of who they are here, the thing that made this offense so dangerous last year was the fact that you really never knew what was coming, and so you couldn't stack the box up against Lamar and Derrick Henry. And when you can't add that extra power into your defensive front to stop those guys, it might be a long day for you. So I think that, you know, with the Ravens, I would even maybe expect it more on the 50-50 side in terms of run pass this year under Todd Monken in year three. And I think now, you know, you upgrade at wide receiver three with DeAndre Hopkins compared to Nelson Aguilar. you know, on the offensive line are getting year two, Roger Rosengarten, Ronnie Stanley comes back. And, you know, the guard spots are a little bit of a question mark right now, so we'll see about that. But I think Baltimore's really comfortable with where they are right now offensively.
Last one for you, Kevin. Mark Andrews obviously had that end of the season here in Buffalo that Bills fans saw up close and personal. And he's still there. He's got 1 year left on his contract. My question for you would be how much you think he's got left. I mean, he is only 29. And here's Darren Waller coming back at 33, and Kelsey's still going at 35. But I know there's been injuries there. There was the car accident, right, that he had. So, I don't know. Do you feel like there is... is bounce back even the right word? There's all more left in the tank for Mark Andrews, given that he isn't even 30 yet.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I mean, I still think he's a top five tight end personally. I know that, you know, in Baltimore, what everybody last saw was what you mentioned. It was the end of the season drop, the fumble. You know, it's all out there for everybody to see. And plus, it's not the first time Mark has underperformed in the playoffs. He is a notorious playoff dropper for the most part over the course of his career, which is unfortunate because he's such a great player. But it is a what-have-you-done-for-me-now league. And, you know, that for Mark Andrews was the unfortunate series of events here in Baltimore that everybody saw. So to me, I think that he has a lot left. The Ravens' entire tight end room is up for contracts after this season. They're going to have to make some tough decisions there. The consensus, and I share this sentiment, is that this is probably Mark's last year in Baltimore. I think it's worth keeping him on the roster for one more year. I don't think a mid-round pick before the season starts is going to do anything for you, especially when you can just get a comp pick for him next year. But this is, you know, in this league, you can't keep everybody, and the Ravens have a lot of extensions coming on the pipeline they're going to have to worry about. Mark is one of those candidates, but it feels like Isaiah Likely is going to be the guy to be the long-term answer at the tight end spot for them. So I think that we'll see a really good year from Mark. I know a lot of people are down on him based off what happened against the Bills, but you know, the chemistry that Lamar and Mark have, you can't replicate that. And he's someone that, yes, those were bad moments that happened in Buffalo. There's no doubt about it here in Baltimore. But I think that doesn't define who he is as a player. And I still think that he has multiple good years left.
Kevin Ostreicher on the Wester Hotline, Locked On Ravens, Locked On NFL Podcast, too, contributor as well. You can check him out there. So thanks, Kevin, for the time, and we'll talk closer to week one. Love to have this matchup for the start of the season.
No, oh, yeah, I love it. Appreciate you having me. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kevin. Mark Andrews, as he mentioned there, drops in the playoffs. There are four playoff games, what it looks like, where he has at least one drop. And obviously the Bernard fumble that he punches out isn't considered a drop, but fumble wise, that was his first playoff fumble. So he hadn't had a fumble before, but a couple of drops. 803-0550 is the phone number. Fantasy football. I've got a draft today. Scott Fishbowl draft coming up in a little bit later this afternoon. Adam Krautwurst is going to join us as fantasy season approaches. He'll come up on the show at 9 o'clock. So quick time for your phone calls in the next segment, and then we'll talk some fantasy coming up here on WGR.